It's been way too long, and I really miss you. Love you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Top fives and deep dives. What's out of PTM? Top fives and deep dives. What's out of PTM? Top fives and deep dives. What's out of PTM? Top fives and deep dives. What's out of PTM?
My favorite director would have to be Martin Scorsese, followed by...
Hey guys, welcome to Top Fives and Deep Dives. This is Justin over here in Los Angeles. We got Mike over in London. Hello, my friend.
Yo.
What's up?
Yo, just enjoying the summer, you know? What can I say?
Dude, we got another new ep.
Really cranking them out these days. Almost back to the old schedule. Yeah.
The people love it.
And then we're about to hit another break for, a little wedding action.
There is a little wedding I heard about. Could be my own.
Next episode.
We will tell. Maybe we'll go live from the wedding.
I'm definitely not prepared for that.
Anyhow, this week we've got a topic that I'm going to be honest, Mike, over the, when we were releasing episodes weekly, I'm surprised we never did this. Because it's kind of a no-brainer for the season that we're in right now. And just, it's something, I feel like I end up watching a few of these films every summer. We're doing top five summer movies. So top five movies that like take place in the summertime that evoke that summer feeling, not like summer like blockbuster movies. Could be a blockbuster, but it's got to be some movie takes place in the summer.
And I feel like we've done, I think, maybe two Christmas episodes.
Yes.
So I feel like now we've covered the solstices? I don't know. which one is it? I don't know.
Anyway. I think it is, right? The summer solstice. The solstice? And the winter solstice?
Right.
You know what we're going with it.
So someday soon we'll have to cover the equinoxes.
Oh, when are the equinoxes?
The fall and spring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, school, man. In my 30s, I'm forgetting everything.
Yeah, agreed.
It's fucked up. But, dude, I honestly love summer movies because, for me at least, they just give me that feeling, that beautiful summer feeling, carefree. Sometimes I feel like, it can go across all genres. A lot of coming-of-age films in this genre, some kids' movies, some horror movies. Comedies, it can go across the board.
Yeah, I was gonna say, when you said carefree, I was like, I was seriously debating putting Texas Chainsaw in here. It's like, I don't know. Carefree. We might be going in different directions. Well, no, so each one of my five captures like a different summer movie aspect for me, but then I realized that there was more than five, and that's when I really ran into trouble. So I've only got five of probably 10, let's say, different styles of movies that I enjoy.
It's tough. I felt I was in a similar-ish place with it. And still, of course, had to leave off a few that I really wanted in the top five. But that's part of what makes this difficult.
In last episode, we did a little summer movie. No Hard Feelings.
We did. And hopefully some of you saw that in the theater. As it is intended for the raunchy comedies, in my opinion. But speaking of spotlights, we've got one for today. Speaking of summer, regardless of if this one takes place in the summer, this is a summer blockbuster, baby. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1. Mike, what did we think?
It was good. I thought it was, I think it's my favorite since 3. So like my favorite of the sort of, I don't know, recent films. For some reason,
that's
I always
big
feel like
for you.
The first three are a trilogy. I don't know why I always feel like that, but like those three are together and these four are together. And I think
you know what? I think that's
one.
A very fair way to think of it, at least in terms of the feel of the movies. And I actually don't know how to describe it either, but yes, you are on point with that. There's something that feels very similar about 4 through 7. In a similar way that 1 through 3 have a kinship.
And I think this is my favorite of those ones. And I think, yeah, I mean, everybody knew about the stunt that we were seeing, which was awesome. And awesome. Like really the whole last half hour was pretty awesome. There's an awesome set piece at the very, very end with the train, which I thought was dope. Yeah. I mean, not, you know, obviously not without my gripes here and there, but yeah, thought it was solid.
Hey, from you after our Mission Impossible episode and how you were ranking these films, I will take it.
Dude. Okay. I have to tell you very quickly, I didn't think we would talk about this, but now that we are. So I saw Mission Impossible and like one of my buddies at work was like, oh, what are you doing after work? Do you want to like get a beer or something? And I was like, oh, I can't. I'm seeing Mission Impossible. He's like, dude, I'll go with you. So we're sitting down to Mission Impossible. And right before it starts, I'm like, oh, hey, by the way, like, what's your favorite Mission Impossible? And he goes, he just like looks at me. And he just goes, two. And I was like, yes, another two. Somebody that likes two.
You
yes.
found your fucking person.
Somebody that likes two. Yes.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's honestly fucked up.
Yeah. Even I was kind of like, are you sure? Really? Like,
oh my God, it's amazing.
Oh, wow.
That is amazing.
So wait, what are your thoughts on Mission Impossible?
He's wrong. So he's wrong. You're wrong. Love you both. Love you, actually. Don't know about this guy. I don't know. My thoughts. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, you know how I feel about the recent entries. I think they're the strongest. And I love three, though, as you know, from our episode. But I find especially five and six to be the best ones. I think this just continues that trend of high quality action blockbusters. Same thing as you. The stunt that we all know about, I wrote right here. I said the epic stunt was indeed epic. And like you said, the set piece at the end of the train, I mean, very memorable. Awesome. I truly thought the whole last hour was just nonstop, but I really liked it. I don't know. It's funny because I think in our episode, I could be wrong. I think in our episode, I might have put Rogue Nation number one. I think after like watching them again and really thinking about the movies as the movies, Fallout might be my favorite, but look, this is right up there with those two. I love that Kittredge comes back from the first one and plays a role throughout the film. I mean, Luther and Benji, Ving Rhames and Simon Pegg, they're just always awesome. I actually thought that Hayley Atwell's character, Grace, I was very surprised almost at how quickly I loved the character. I think it's a testament to her. I think she did a great job. I Mike, I don't know about you, but there were certain ways this movie was shot. Like even like, remember the scene, I'm not going to like give it away for people, but for you, like the scene where he's kind of having that like claustrophobic fight in like the alley, even that whole sequence and what it leads to, I felt like was shot almost in a, interestingly enough, it kind of reminded me of like a bit more old school. Like it almost gave me a little flashback to One in a way. If I don't know if that makes sense.
It's a lot like One. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Just sort of running around trapped in Europe. Yeah.
Yes. So it was, I don't know. I really liked it. I thought they did a good job with it. I'll wait obviously for full judgment until we see part two. But I think, you know, I saw that Tom Cruise wanted this to definitely be its own thing. You know, have an ending and not just be like a cliffhanger and for audiences to feel satisfied. And I thought this was an incredibly satisfying movie for a movie that's going to have two parts.
Yeah, unlike Fast X, which had no ending at all.
I will agree with you. I'll agree with you there. They really, I mean, to have no ending and then they're going to make us wait potentially years.
I mean, just no come ending. On, just like not even an attempt at an ending. She was like, let's just stop here. Call it.
Let's just stop. Yeah. Yeah, we're just, we ran out. We went way too over budget. Let's just call it quits here.
Yeah.
Part two will be epic. There we go. But yeah, I think, again, if you want top quality summer blockbuster, Tom Cruise is your man.
Boom.
That's where I finished.
I was going to say, just right there. End the episode.
Yeah, episode over. We're done. No, but on the real, check it out. But without further ado, let's get into our top five summer movies. Mike, I'm having you kick off again this week. Kick us off.
All right, here we go. And I mentioned this to you before we started, but a very uncharacteristic list for me today. Five movies everybody's going to know and have already seen. Zero deep cuts.
I'm pumped.
Number five. I Needed A. Family goes on vacation over the summer and things go awry. Movie. I thought that was important for my list. Debated a lot of things. And ultimately, I landed at 2019's Us.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Wasn't expecting it, but also makes total sense for you.
I like this movie a lot, man. I've seen it like quite a few times now, and every time I see it, it grows on me. I definitely don't think it's as good as Get Out, but I think Get Out's like one of the best movies of the last 30 years. So that's like not saying too much.
That's a high bar to have to live up to.
And I think about it all the time. It's just a really good movie. I mean, Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke are both great. Elizabeth Moss is fucking awesome. You know, it all takes place on this summer vacation. You get like that Santa Cruz, like shot in Santa Cruz on the boardwalk, which just like, I think makes everybody think of summer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this one is like if you haven't seen this movie, it's like a bit hard to explain, but it's basically like this family goes on vacation and then like some shit goes down, and it's not like it's not like The Stranger or whatever, where like they just get attacked. It's a lot deeper than that. It's a lot more complicated than that. And I don't even think it's worth trying to explain. But you know, it has the big twist at the end, and like I think where it goes is like, I don't know, maybe not like the most insightful thing ever. Like as opposed to Get Out, I think this is a little bit sort of heavy-handed, but like it does make me think a lot, and it's like very interesting analogy. And a lot of horror movies are getting very similar these days, and none of them are like this. So I think that's cool. And yeah, like I said, I just needed some version of family goes on a bad trip, effectively. And like this one, it's kind of as bad as it gets. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you know what? It's on point. It fits the genre. It's, again, I knew coming in, we were going to get some horror and horror tinged films, or at least one. And you've already delivered.
I was thinking about going 5-4, honestly. There's just so many good ones. Any like summer camp slasher, which is like, there's obviously a million to choose from, but I don't have any.
There's so many. But you don't have one on your list.
Nope, I don't.
Okay. Okay. Spoiler alert, neither do I.
Ooh, okay.
But there are a lot. There are a lot. I was tempted by a couple. Well, we'll get there. But I like this pick. It's funny, when I was going through all the options, I thought that I had hit most of them and this didn't come to mind, but I also like this movie a lot, and it definitely evokes a summer feel. It's no question.
Boom.
Boom. All right. Number five. Guys, as you know, as I do every week, toiling with my list. Just can't make a decision, but I'm going to make one. Okay. I am going to go with 1993's Dazed and Confused.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
I couldn't not include this on the list. I went back and forth with some other stuff. I mean, this is just absolute classic. Last day of high school, school's out for summer. So many things came from this movie. Obviously directed by Richard Linklater, and it's a coming of age film. The cast is absurd in hindsight. I mean, you have Matthew McConaughey, you have Ben Affleck, you've also got, you know, Jason London, Mia Jokovic, Cole Hauser, Joey Lauren Adams, Parker Posey. It's a great cast. It's got great music throughout. Obviously, some of McConaughey's lines in this have just gone into the history books, from "All right, all right, all right" to, you know, they I keep getting older and they just stay the same. But it's just got all the aspects of, you know, we all, for the most part, were kids that went to school. And you know that feeling when school lets out for the summer, you get into shenanigans in high school. You kind of get all of that in the course of a day and a night. And I just think that it evokes all of those feelings. And it's just such a fun watch. You know, a lot of Richard Linklater's movies end up being kind of those, like a slice of life film. A lot of his movies are like slice of life films. And this is no different. It's kind of like you could envision yourself being there. You're just going through a day in the life of these kids. And there isn't maybe one specific plot, but we can all relate to it. I just love it. I think it's great. Big yeah. summer vibes.
I think it's, I don't have a last day of school film. So yeah, I'm glad that you do.
Good. Me too.
And this is a good choice. Absolute classic of the genre. So yeah, approved. I think after all the deliberation, number 5 is a good choice.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay. All right. My number 4. What do we got here? All right. My number 4. Okay. I really hesitated to put this on the list because it's not as good as like 10 of the films that I don't have on my list. But I kind of feel like it had to be here because what I really wanted was another quintessential summer thing, which is you and your buddies living at a beach house for the summer.
God. Oh my God.
So I had to go with 2001's American Pie 2.
Yes.
It's just the best movie of that subgenre.
Guess what?
What?
It's also my number 4.
Oh my God. No, I should audible. Fuck. Okay.
No, you know what? I'm going to audible.
Okay, perfect.
This
perfect.
Will allow me to put some other stuff in. Take it away, but you are right. Best movie of the subgenre.
It just, keep going. You know, it almost reminds me of that summer that I lived at Zebra House, you know, where they're just like working random jobs, like they're painting the houses and shit, you know, just trying to make ends meet, having parties, like going to the beach, trying to meet girls. And there's like some continuation from the first one about like where like Jim is, Jason Biggs's character, like in his relationship sort of status, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, this is just the thing that you should do. Everybody should do once in their life, at least, you know, is just have a house with your boys and just get up to shenanigans for 3 months and just like live up the summer. And just the amount of absurd cuts, not just on the soundtrack, but like over the course of the entire film.
It's absurd. If we had a top five movie soundtrack songs in a single movie, this is in that top five, and it's not even a question.
No.
Ub-fucking-cert. It's actually one of the only soundtracks I owned as a kid.
I'm trying to think of what was actually on the soundtrack versus just in the movie. Regardless, I mean, literally every track is a banger. It's hard to even imagine that, like, they didn't spend all that much money making this movie, but it feels like hundreds of millions of dollars worth of just songs. Like, you just can't even bother. What are the Blink songs in the movie?
They've got Every Time I Look for You.
Okay, right.
It's just Every Time I Look for You.
I won't call out the entire thing, but there's several 741 cuts, but there's also Smooth Criminal, a song that just is forgotten if you're not our age. Flavor of the Week. Hashpipe at the Party, amazing cut. Scumbag, if you're a Green Day fan. And there's definitely some of the fucking pop-offs. I'm trying to remember
I think Hit or Miss by Newfound Glory is in there.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Fat Lip and In Too Deep.
In the Sun's on there. Yeah, anyway, Fat Lip and In Too Deep. Yeah, it's just wild. It's wild.
I'm trying. What? Who did you say that you were thinking was in it?
I was saying that there's definitely some lit. The pop-offs make an appearance.
Wait, when do they make an appearance in it?
No, not in the film. I mean, there's at least one song in the movie. Anyway, this is that. This is the hanging out with your boys over the summer, partying, working manual labor jobs.
Yep. It's Last Time Again is the song by Lit.
Ah, okay. Yeah. There you go.
And then, of course, we can't forget Want You Bad by The Offspring. What a fucking banger.
Incredible.
Yeah, this movie's unreal. I mean, you just said everything that ever would need to be said about it, but it is so goddamn good. You can't not have a good time watching it. Someone with your boys. Fantastic number four. Absolutely fantastic.
So now I'm glad that you're opting into a new number four. Let's hear it.
Okay. So for my new number four, I am going to go into something that I rewatched this week. I'd say there's the slightest, I'm actually very curious your take when I say the movie, Mike, the slightest piece that could say, is it like 1000% in summer? But it is. It is. It's in the summer. It evokes all the right feels for me. And this is 2007's Disturbia.
Wait, Disturbia is that movie with Shia LaBeouf?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I actually rewatched that like pretty recently. Yeah, continue. Did you? Sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so I remember, I'll never forget when this movie came out. I really, really, really liked it when it came out. I think that Sarah Romer, who plays his love interest in the movie, like, this came out when I was a senior in high school, and I just, like, fell in love with her. I thought she was beautiful, like, perfect girl next door. Carrie Ann Moss is in this as Shia's mother.
Oh, yeah, right. And the killer guy's David Morse? Is that right?
David Morse is the next door neighbor who it's, okay, you know, yeah. You're wondering the whole time, is he this killer or not? Pretty much the plot of the film, it's very similar to Rear Window. Took a lot of inspiration from Rear Window. And Shia, whose dad, unfortunately, had died in this like tragic car accident with him while they were on, you know, a little summer trip. He then, you know, is going through the next year of school. He's depressed. He's acting out. And he ends up like assaulting a teacher. He gets put on house arrest for the summer for 3 months. And again, I don't believe in the movie they explicitly say it's summer, but it's like, Mike, would you agree? It's clearly like the summer months.
Well, yeah, I think I'll give it to you. I think I've thought of it as summer.
Yeah. So he's stuck in this house. This girl named Ashley, played by Sarah Romer, her and her family move in next door. And there's this guy, Mr. Turner, that also lives next door on the other side of them. And there are some missing girls and, you know, potentially a killer, serial killer out there. And Shia starts to realize a couple of weird things about his neighbor while also being interested in this new gal that lives next door. And it kind of turned into them spying a bit on the neighbor from his house and where it goes from there. I still think this movie's amazing on rewatch this week. Like, I love that we've got the thriller aspect and it does keep you guessing. And then I love that it's still within that kind of has the coming of age high school romance type deal mixed in. And all in a relatively summery atmosphere, despite the fact that we're dealing with someone who's mainly just in his house. I love this movie. I'm a big fan of it, proponent. I think it holds up after all these years. Yeah, that's my spiel.
It's good. And it gets pretty dark at the end, like darker than you might expect. And I think adding to the summer is that he has that, like, he's like in that constant, like, almost like prank battle with those like neighbor kids that just like, yep, as a runner throughout the entire movie that I feel like maybe they would be in school if they like, maybe it's a summertime. Yeah. I think you're right.
Exactly. They're like leaving shit on his fucking doorstep at one point. Yeah. And then also even like Ashley next door, she has like the party at one point.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
Where he ends up like putting the speakers on the outside on his roof to kind of like fuck with the party.
Yeah.
But it's just, again, it's not explicitly as summer as certain other movies that I could have picked. But for me, this movie always has given me that feeling. And along with it, I think it really did take place in summer, which helps. But I wanted to slot that one in. I've wanted to, because it's for me, Mike, my only horror tinged one at all. And I love it. So I'm glad that I got an opportunity to include it.
Okay, cool. Disturbia. Definitely Disturbia. A movie we have not talked about. So yeah, cool choice. I like it.
Thank you.
All right. My number three. This is my working a summer job movie. A lot of different ways you could go here, you know, like, but it, to me, it had to be explicitly a job you do over the summer. So like lifeguard, or like in a movie that we were sort of speaking of off pod, like works at the amusement park, very summery jobs. In this case,
yes.
It is works at a like resort, which I feel like, I don't know about you, but I definitely grew up with a lot of people that worked at like sort of country clubs type thing mm-hmm. in like the summertime, sort of like Red Oaks. Shout out Red
yeah,
Oaks.
I knew. That's big shout out Red Oaks. Great TV show for anyone who hasn't seen. Yeah. But
yeah, like in Connecticut, you especially know these
yes,
people, right?
Definitely was familiar with, you know, knew a few people that did the same.
Yeah. So with that in mind, my number three, the summer job movie, the greatest dancing film of all time, 1987's Dirty Dancing.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Great choice. Great choice.
I mean, I think we all know about Dirty Dancing. Jennifer Grey, Patrick Swayze, working at the resort. In
Crazy Swayze, baby.
Crazy Swayze, R.I.P. And Jennifer Grey in Red Oaks. I didn't even realize that until right now as I was saying that. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is that. You're working at the summer resort. You're banging rich ladies, you know, for money, as you always do. This is written by Eleanor Bergstein, I think is how you say her name. And she was like based on her experiences, which I think gives it a real like authenticity. And it's kind of like, you know, on Baby's side, Jennifer Grey's side, I think it's like kind of growing up over the summer as like, I think is when people do like their most growth when you're in high school, you know, you just sort of coast through the year and then people come back from the summer and they're like totally different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that type of thing. And yeah, as I said, it just, I feel like I knew a lot of people that went to places like this or worked at places like this. And it just, I mean, besides just being like a great movie, like another thing that happens over the summer, maybe you get pregnant and you have to talk about abortions. Like these things just sort of happen over the summer for some reason. I don't know why. And also this is one thing that I wanted to say. Everybody knows Dirty Dancing. We all think it's a great film. Can you tell me who directed Dirty Dancing? No, you cannot. For some reason, nobody knows. But it's this guy, Emil Ardolino, who...
Did he do anything else?
Well, this is the thing. He never gets any credit even for directing this movie. He also directed Sister Act. Do I think Sister Act is a great movie? No, but it's a pretty fucking big movie.
True
that. He also directed a movie that I'm sure Alex would enjoy quite a bit, Three Men and a Little Lady.
I bet she would.
And Emil Ardolino won the Oscar. He won an Oscar in the 80s for a documentary he directed called He Makes Me Feel Like Dancing. I think it was 84.
No shit.
Oscar winner, not for Dirty Dancing. This guy never gets credit. Sorry, just thought I'd throw that
crazy.
In. Also, Dirty Dancing played at Cannes. People forget that as well. It played at fucking Cannes. Anyway.
I did not even remember that.
And won Best Original Song at the Oscars. What a film. What a film.
Shit. Wow, nobody puts Baby in the corner.
You better not. You better not.
Better goddamn not.
Swayze will come get you. We might even go Roadhouse on you. God, we should just do a top five Swayze, honestly.
We really should. How have we not done that?
I don't know. The problem is that he has like at least four movies that are obvious must be in the top five. Yes, so like yes, our yes. list.
It's just like
two.
Where you put them in the top
five. It's just like Point Break and then the rest of the movies.
If Point Break isn't number one, then I don't think the list is valid. So
yeah exactly.
I think we just did the top five. If people want to the bonus top five of this episode is top five Swayze.
Yeah.
Point Break and four others, one of them being Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, and Roadhouse, obviously.
And Roadhouse.
But like maybe not Ghost, honestly. I don't think Ghost is that good.
I would need a rewatch.
Okay.
I agree though in hindsight. Anyhow.
I digress. Summer job movie, Dirty Dancing.
Love it. Love the pick. Speaking of Dirty Dancing, I'm going to take us a little younger. I'm going to take us to some kids and a little bit of summer camp vibes. And I'm going to take you back to one of my all-time favorite movies as a kid that I still, to this day, own on DVD. Which, how do I even play a DVD anymore? But I have it. And I still love this movie. That's 1995's Heavyweights.
I actually rewatched Heavyweights like a week ago.
No, you didn't.
In anticipation of this draft. It did not make my list, but I hadn't seen it in, I can't even tell you how long.
Tony Perkis, baby.
Wow, Tony Perkis.
I have a tank top that has the Perkis power.
Oh my God.
Logo.
In a proto dodgeball role for Ben Stiller.
Literally. It's so funny because very interesting something behind this film. For many, many years, or actually not many years, I mean still when you watch the movie, I believe Ben Stiller is uncredited.
I feel like Ben Stiller is uncredited in like five different films. That just keeps happening to him. That doesn't even make sense.
I know. Because he's literally like one of the main characters of the film. But if you have not seen this movie, it is actually a very early, it's written partly by Judd Apatow. He's one of two writers of the film, him and Stephen Brill, directed by Stephen Brill. And it has Ben Stiller. He plays this guy that runs this camp. His name's Tony Perkis. And he runs this camp for overweight kids where he, you know, in theory is getting them more in shape. But he is just so mean and just the worst. And these kids are just a fun group. You've got, oh man, what's his name in real life? But Goldberg from Mighty Ducks is in this.
Shout out Goldberg. You've got
Kenan Thompson in this. It's a great little cast of characters. There's just, and of course, how can we forget Camp Counselor Lars?
Who's like a guy, I think from maybe like Chicago or something.
Doing that ridiculous accent.
The actor doing the ridiculous accent.
Yeah. Anywho, summer camp, hijinks. Like, I remember as a kid, because they have like the blob in this. If you know.
Those things are so fucking awesome.
So awesome. Like, if you can't envision this, think in a lake, a big old, you know, inflatable blob where you jump down into it and you launch the next kid off of it. Just looks so fun. I still haven't really been on one in my life, Mike. It's definitely something I still need to do. Have you?
Dude, I can't believe you don't have that at your wedding. I thought for sure that would be there.
That's fucked up. I should.
Yeah, I've been on them maybe like twice, and they're awesome. Yeah, they're awesome.
I can only imagine. Also, just like they have go-karting in this movie.
Dude, and I mean, there's so much about go-karting. Like half the plot is go-karting. Literally. And Jerry Stiller, dude, you know, he's like the like the benevolent owner that's forced to like sell it and everyone's sad. He's so sad when he has to like give up the place in the beginning.
No, dude, also Alan Covert's in this.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously, he's grandma's boy. And
yeah, he's like the photographer, right? The videographer.
Yep. But I just think like this is one of those movies. I feel like there's certain movies that everyone still talks about from childhood. I feel like sometimes this one gets lost in the mix.
It's memorable, though.
Very memorable.
Oh, yeah. Tim Blake Nelson is in this as well. He's like the main sort of counselor guy.
And Goldberg's name in real life is I believe, Sean Weiss, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, again, I feel like I didn't even go too deep into the plot, but it doesn't matter. If you just want ultimate summer camp vibes, summer hijinks, Ben Stiller in an absolutely ridiculous role, this is your movie.
And Ben Stiller's like one-liners are basically what makes the whole movie work. Even though it's obviously about the kids, like he's where the real humor comes from.
Yes.
Also, dude, Stephen Brill, before he became Sailor's guy, directing Heavyweights, and he wrote like, I think, several of the Mighty Ducks movies.
Dude.
Kind of a savage.
He was crushing.
And he directed such classics as Hubie Halloween. I mean, how can you fault that guy? He
also wrote Ready to Rumble.
Oh, wow. Incredible.
Which, by the way, if that has not come up on the pod, what a movie that gets forgotten about that is a fun time.
Can we do wrestling movies?
I mean, you know I'm in.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Heavyweights.
Heavyweights.
You have to have a summer camp movie there.
You do. And this is it.
Mine would have definitely been Moonrise Kingdom if I didn't pick it on several other episodes.
That's on my honorables. Great movie.
Okay. All right. My number two. One of, I think, an underserved subgenre of the summer movie. Ooh. Maybe it's just underserved because I want every movie to have this, is the post-college film. You get a lot of high school movies. You get a lot of college movies. There's not enough, like, I just graduated movies.
From college?
Yes.
Okay. Like, I'm going out into the world as a 20-something.
Yes.
Yep.
I think there should be more of those. I really like the subgenre. It's the start of the greatest movie of all time, except it, as you all know. But in this case, I think the film that best captures the I just graduated college and I'm going out into the real world vibe is none other than 1967's The Graduate.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I can't argue that.
And this is the version of that film whereby the graduate, in this case Dustin Hoffman, just truly just has no idea what to do with life. And it in some ways doesn't really care. And is just having trouble adjusting to this like post-college world. And I have to say, I think that's the time that I personally felt like most, I don't know, like lost. Not like spiritually lost, just like literally I do not know what to do. You know, like from high school, obviously all the way up through high school, your life is like completely mapped out for you. Mm-hmm. In college, you have like a little bit of freedom. But like at the same time, it's like you just got to show up to class and no one really cares if you're
you
like
still have a structure to
the rest of the 23 hours of the day, right?
Yes.
And now it's like, now you have to survive. And it's like, or I could hook up with my friend's mom. I mean, that's, I feel like that's what you really do.
That's another option.
That's like what you do over the summer. You like maybe sort of get married and like maybe hook up with a girl and her mom, like, and just kind of lays around in the pool and like people try to give you jobs and your dad's Mr. Feeny. And it's just like, this sort of just like, I feel like this is kind of, I think this is Mike Nichols' only Oscar, by the way. But yeah, I think this is just sort of perfectly captures that vibe that I definitely like had seen this movie before. I'd seen it after, but like nothing really totally prepared me for when like I felt this movie. And I think it captures it better than any other.
Dude. Absolutely iconic movie. And I agree. It's a subgenre that even right now I'm trying to like think of films in that subgenre off the top of my head. And I can't do it off the top of my head.
Just underserved.
Underserved. Great pick. Can't argue with it. Great number two.
What do you got?
All right. I'm taking us a little more current. This is going to be my summer job movie. And I think that this movie is quite underrated. At the very least, when it was released, it was extremely underrated. And I think has gained some fanfare over time. And I just think that it really does kind of the coming of age, dramedy, summer job movie as good as it gets. And that's 2009's Adventureland.
I have never seen this.
Whoa. Okay.
Never seen it.
I highly recommend. It is written and directed by Greg Modula. I hope I said that right. But he is, of course, the director of Superbad. This was actually his next project. And of course, he didn't write Superbad. But this, I think, was his project immediately after Superbad. It stars Jesse Eisenberg in the lead role, and then Kristen Stewart, you know, opposite him in the other lead role. You've got a younger Ryan Reynolds. You've got Martin Starr. You've got Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig. It's an awesome little cast. Honestly, before most of them, maybe all of them, had really blown up, they were right on the cusp of blowing up. Maybe Ryan Reynolds. No, I mean, they all catapulted into like more of a superstardom.
Is Social Network 2008 or 2010?
I think it's 2010. Yeah, it's 2010. Yes,
that would be the next year.
Yeah, so Eisenberg hasn't blown up yet. Kristen Stewart hasn't fully blown up yet. Reynolds, I think, was probably the most veteran at that point, but had still not blown up the way that he's now a household name. And then, you know, Hader and Kristen Wiig hadn't blown up yet. It's pretty unbelievable. But anywho, takes place in the summer of 87. Eisenberg plays this kid, James. He has just graduated from college. So funny enough, it's one of the rare movies, Mike. I wasn't even thinking about it just now before I said it. It's another rare movie like The Graduate that tackles this little niche of a subgenre. But anyways, so he's planning to go have like a summer vacation. I think he's planning to go to Europe, but he finds out from his parents that things aren't going well financially. I think like his dad has taken, like, you know, maybe got demoted at his job. So anyways, he's going to need to spend the summer working. So he decides to get a job working at Adventureland, which is like the local amusement park near where he lives. I think he lives like right in Pittsburgh or right outside of it. And so he's just working the carnival games at Adventureland. So it leads to, you know, he meets Kristen Stewart's character, M, who works there as well. Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig are the ones that kind of run it. Martin Starr works there. Ryan Reynolds is the older guy who is like the janitor there. And there's some other great characters that work there as well. There's like the stereotypical, like really pretty popular girl, Lisa P, who like everyone is obsessed with, and a couple like other hooligans that work there. It's a great, really fun cast of characters. And the thing with this movie, it feels very honest compared to certain other movies of the genre. And I know all of them, not all of them, but I feel like some of the ones Mike and I talk about, they do have like a sense of authenticity to them. But this one really rings that way to me, because things don't go all the ways you're expecting them to go. It feels like, you know, Jesse Eisenberg's character in this, he really goes through some of the things that all of us go through. And all you want, obviously, in these movies is something relatable. And it just, again, it just feels very true to life the way things happen in this. And it's a really good movie. It kind of is mind-blowing that it wasn't a bigger hit. I think they really fucked up the way that they marketed and released this. Because you've got, like, the fucking director is Superbad. You've got all these people who, no, not maybe, like, crazy stars yet, but a lot of them were known. I mean, you just had Hader in one of the most liked roles in Superbad. Reynolds was, you know, well known enough.
Well, and Twilight came out the year before, so
exactly. So, excuse me, Kristen Stewart had blown up, but and so yes, you'd think that this would do better. I think they put out a summer movie in the first week of April. I don't think it was marketed well. I saw it in theaters, but I see everything in theaters, so that's not saying much. Anyways, over the years, I feel like I've seen a lot of online chatter of people that really like this movie. It's really good. If you have not seen it, I highly recommend it. I'm an absolute sucker for coming of age films, so it really strikes my fancy. But I think this one has broader appeal, and I think a lot of people could really like it. Also, I'm a sucker for amusement parks and carnivals, which Mike knows. So it's really checking things off my list.
All right. Carnival movies has to be up there somewhere. You can definitely do like so many of those. And it's a good setting for horror movies. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know why I've seen this. I'm sure I'll like it. But like, you know how like you see like 500 movies a year and like you've never seen Citizen Kane or whatever? Like, I think it's just one of those things. You know, I have no reason why I haven't seen this. I will like it.
Yes, I think you will. And not to, I mean, I'm trying to hype it up because I feel like it's a movie that might be one of the movies we're listing that some people haven't seen. Not that Rotten Tomatoes means everything, but 89% Rotten Tomatoes, pretty goddamn good. And for personal taste, I like Kristen Stewart a lot, but you know, for even people that don't, I feel like people really appreciate her in this role. I think she's awesome. I think it might be her best role. And I'm not always the biggest Eisenberg guy myself, and I think he crushes in this. So it's just a great one. Check it out, Adventureland number two.
I think that's my problem, is I don't really like Jesse Eisenberg. Like, it's not that I don't like him. It's just that he just like doesn't do a lot for me at all.
he has his thing, and it's part of him, so it kind of permeates every character that he plays.
I feel like this is a movie with people that have their thing between Kristen Stewart, Jesse Eisenberg, and Ryan Reynolds. It's just like people that have their thing.
You're not wrong. But funny enough, Ryan Reynolds is the least his thing in this movie. If that's believable.
I don't believe you. That's impossible.
Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader are there. Well, I guess Bill Hader's done a lot over the years, but early Bill Hader, it's still kind of his thing in this movie.
Okay. All right. Adventureland, we'll watch, definitely.
Please do, and report back to us all.
My number one of the best, you know, handful of films over the last 50 years for a million reasons. But today we're going to talk about it because it obviously takes place over the summer. 1975's Jaws.
I mean, I knew you were going to have this. It's in my honorables. First blockbuster ever, they say.
It's a summer movie in that it takes place over the summer, including a 4th of July party, which is as summer as it gets in America, obviously. And also, it's a summer blockbuster. The first ever summer blockbuster came out in June of 75. Mm-hmm. It's as summer as it gets. I mean, and in terms of sort of subgenres, this is both the movie that birthed every aquatic horror movie really ever. I mean, it's not the first one, but like, you know, like every alligator movie you've ever seen, obviously like Piranha and stuff like that. All of them are just this movie and so many other movies as well that don't even take place in the water, really just Jaws. You've also got your guy on a boat movie, you know, your team of dudes on a boat movie. And you've got your very similar to No Hard Feelings. You've got your, we live in this town and now tourists are coming here and shit is running amok movie. I mean, Jaws, the shark, there's never been a better shark ever in film still in the following years, the following 50 years. You know, what can I say? It's Jaws.
It's Jaws. I mean, it's a classic. It's undeniable. It's a great fucking movie. And it screams summer.
It's a fucking great ride at Disney.
My friend Universal.
Well, whatever. You don't know.
Here I am, the Adventureland amusement park guy. Here we go.
It's all one thing, you know, all those amusement parks that are near each other.
It is. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, you're right. Not Disney.
I should have known that. Jaws. Okay. Number one for me, there was never a question. Greatest summer movie of all time, in my personal opinion. Nothing will ever evoke it like this. 1993's The Sandlot.
I can't believe you have two movies from 1993. The Sandlot. Yeah, sure.
Sandlot, written by David Mickey Evans and Robert Gunter, and directed by David Mickey Evans. Mike, I think I've developed a speech impediment over the course of this episode.
Can we just briefly pause on David Mickey Evans, who also was part of the writing team of the film Ed, which I don't think anyone's ever seen if you're not our age.
Ed with like the chimpanzee.
Oh, yes. He was one of the co-writers of Mickey Mouse Three Musketeers movie.
Wait, really?
As well as Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, which I think Pet Detective Junior. Sorry,
yes, Junior.
Detective Junior. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
hey,
and apparently I didn't know this. This is news to me. News flash for all around. He was the director of the third Beethoven movie, Beethoven the Dog. That is. Honestly, I wanted to do a David Mickey Evans deep dive. Sorry, deep dive. Continue with the Sandlot.
Sandlot. Okay. Takes place 1962. Scott Smalls, he moves to the Valley of LA with his mom. He's got his new stepfather, Bill, who's played by Dennis Leary. And he ends up meeting this kid, Benny, Benjamin Franklin Rodriguez, as he's called, and getting invited to play at the local Sandlot. And he starts playing some ball with these kids and he meets this whole cast of characters and they have a hell of a summer in the San Fernando Valley. And it's just the summer of it all is ridiculous to, like, you know, 4th of July, there's all these fireworks. They go to a carnival. they try some dip and they all puke at the carnival. And of course, the great James Earl Jones is in this. In person, you actually see the man, unlike when he's Darth Vader's voice, or unlike when he is the legendary Mufasa's voice in The Lion King. He's actually in this. He's got the legendary dog that they're all scared of, nicknamed the Beast, of course, over the wall of the Sandlot. And they hit their only ball in there at one point. Anyways, I'm kind of bumping around, but it just has all of the summer hijinks a movie could have. Like, they also go to, like, the local, we'll call it pool club, and there's Wendy Peppercorn, who, you know, one of them's in love with, who's the lifeguard, and it's everything to me as a summer movie. If you said, tell me one movie that just makes you think of summer, The Sandlot. It's not even a question. It's one of my favorites ever, and it has some very quotable lines, and it's just a good time, and it holds up.
Yeah, Sandlot. I mean, fits all the categories. What can you say?
You're killing me, Smalls.
Kids getting up to stuff in the summer movie, sadly. I've got several of my honorables, but I hope all people had summers as great as they did in the Sandlot.
Yes, me too.
This is exactly what it's about.
Me freaking too. Shall we recap our lists? We did it.
Let's do it. Let's see. Number 5, Us. Number 4, American Pie 2. Number 3, Dirty Dancing. Number 2, The Graduate. Number 1, Jaws.
And I am number 5, Dazed and Confused. Number 4, Disturbia. Number 3, Heavyweights. Number 2, Adventureland. And number 1, The Sandlot. And I feel like we gotta hit a couple honorables. You want to lead us off?
Okay. So yeah, there's literally like a million like summer camp slashers. I think the most summery is maybe like Sleepaway Camp, which is like not my favorite movie. But if I'd have to say that that's like, if I had to pick one, that would be it. Besides obviously Texas Chainsaw, which is like one of the, I don't know, sort of like hottest movies like on film, and that you can like really feel how like gross and hot it is.
Yes.
The Bay would be another one, which is like a pretty cool found footage movie that I don't think a lot of people have seen. Where are you on the Midsommar train? I can't remember if you really like it or you hate it.
I'm a massive fan.
Massive fan. Okay.
Definitely on my honorable mention.
That could have been Stand By Me would have been like my sort of kids getting up to stuff, which I think takes place over Labor Day. So it's like end of summer.
It's summer, though. That's on my honorables. That was close to my list. It's a great fucking movie.
And let's see. I don't know. Maybe the last one I'll throw out is Talented Mr. Ripley. Pretty nice. Sure it takes place over summer. That is your European summer.
Your European summer.
It's my European summer. Didn't get one of those, sadly.
I love how you, with all the movies, have given us the type of summer.
There's so many different kinds out there.
There's so many kinds. All right, to add to your ones, I'll put out two indie dramedies that I love, both from 2013, The Kings of Summer and The Way, Way Back. Both movies that nearly made my list. Very solid, very solid. If you like coming-of-age tales with, in this case, high school kids, then these are your movies. I'm going to throw out Super 8. The J.J. Abrams flick.
Oh, I didn't even remember that was a summer movie.
Yeah, that takes place in summer. You know what movie doesn't necessarily... Well, I think it does. You know what movie just, for me, has always felt summer? You're going to kind of laugh at this one. The original Transformers from 2007 with Shia and Megan Fox. Just for whatever reason, it gave
Megan Fox is barely wearing clothes, so you have to assume that's warm out.
It took place in summer. Moonrise Kingdom, I know we mentioned during the pod. I've got to drop National Lampoon's Vacation. That's family goes on summer vacation, gets into hijinks.
Yeah.
I think the last one I'll drop is a movie that I think was kind of lesser seen, but it's from the last hint. I think it's like maybe 5 years old. Summer of 84. Have you ever seen that, Mike?
No, it's in my watch list. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix between like a Disturbia and maybe like a Stranger Things kind of
with
a,
oh right, yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I really like it though. I'm a fan.
Can I throw out one movie that may or may not take place over the summer, but I'm just looking at it right now and I'm going to have to assume that it does because it feels like a summer movie.
Please.
Without a Paddle. Do you remember that movie?
Oh my God. Seth Green and Dax Shepard.
And Matthew Lillard. And Ethan Suplee. The reason that I'm throwing it out right now is because I did not realize it was directed by Stephen Brill. That's no, where I'm going not. With this. Apparently it was. Stephen Brill keeps delivering.
Stevie, baby. Just crushing.
Anyway, I'm not sure that it's one of my honorables. I just thought I'd mention it now because yeah, Stephen Brill. There you go.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else on my honorables.
Does Deliverance take place over the summer while we're talking about like Up a Creek movies? Deliverance feels like it does. But it's in Georgia, so it could be anytime.
Yeah, it's tough to say for sure.
Who knows? We didn't say Independence Day.
Oh my God. My whole list is a lie. My whole list is a lie, Mike.
How could you forget it takes place over the summer in the title?
Oh my God, it's literally in the title.
In the title.
I'm losing it. Holy shit.
Oh no.
No, that's okay. We've talked about it enough because it's one of the greatest movies ever, obviously. Oh, you know what I actually need to rewatch that it's good. I just haven't seen it in a while. I know some people like love this movie, but 500 Days of Summer.
That takes place over who knows how long. 500 days. More than a year. Plus summer.
Yeah. Multiple summers, apparently.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I mean, it's got summer in the title. Speaking of, The Endless Summer. You ever see that? That documentary? That's a kind of a fun movie.
That is a very summer flick. Very. I mean, that's as summer endless as it summer. Gets.
Says it right in there. Never ends.
Never ends. Dude, I feel like also... Does Road Trip take place during summer or during... No, during school year.
No, they're in college, yeah.
Yep.
Euro Trip takes place over the summer.
Oh, my. Scotty doesn't know, baby.
Greatest cameo of all time, Matt Damon.
Literally greatest cameo.
We confirmed it on our cameo episode.
Not even quite... Yeah, listen to our top five cameo episode. Not even a question. Best cameo of all time. Oh, my God. That song, dude.
Incredible. Incredible.
What if I told you right now, pod exclusive?
Oh my God.
That Scotty doesn't know will play at the wedding.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I'm dying to know the whole wedding playlist. I wish I had it right now.
Well, Scotty doesn't know is on there somewhere.
That's fucking incredible. How many hours is the wedding playlist? Is there a concern that we won't get to Scotty doesn't know?
There is that concern.
I will stay up as late as it takes. All right. I'll leave this in. Let me just say, for anyone listening to this right now, we went on a long tangent. It's 100% my fault. I'm not sure where we left it. But this is an awkward transition back in. Summer movies. We did it.
We did it. Great. I love summer movies. And it's been a great time this week. It's been a great time. We're like trying to come back into the episode. We just went on a crazy tangent. But we love you guys. This was super, super fun ep. Go see Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 if you haven't yet. And we hope that we see you guys soon. Have a great summer. Next time you hear from us, I will be married. Very pumped. And hey, maybe that means we got to get Alex back on the pod.
Sure.
Maybe we just got to get both, you know, at that point, both wives on the pod.
All right, this is going to take some serious planning.
Okay, it might be a while before that one. You guys will hopefully see us sooner than that. I really miss you. Everyone, continue to have a lovely summer. We'll see you soon. Peace out. Top fives and deep dives, without a PTM. 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 My favorite director would have to be Martin Scorsese, followed by Quentin Tarantino. My whole list is a lie.